Unilever is the company that makes Axe underarm deodorant and Dove soap and a lot of products that you may buy. You're certainly familiar with them, and they do a lot of commercials. And the company Unilever is now saying that they are not so sure they want to be on social media anymore. Unilever, one of the world's biggest advertisers, said yesterday that it might not want to place commercials on some of the biggest websites that we see, places like Facebook and other places that ads pop up. They had a speech by one of their executives, and in part it said this: consumers don't care about third-party verification. They do care about fraudulent practice, fake news, and Russian influencing the election. They don't care about good value for advertisers. They do care when they see their brands being placed next to ads funding terror or exploiting children. They don't care about sophisticated data usage or ad targeting via complex algorithms, but they do care about not seeing the same ad 100 times in a day. They don't care about ad fraud. They do care about their data being misused and stolen. This isn't a pro-Republican or pro-Democrat ad. It's not political at all. At least I don't see it that way. What it is one of those companies that's putting its ads out there, and they know that we are frustrated with how the internet works, how social media works, and sometimes how these ads pop up. And then it's their message. And so they say they're getting sick and tired of it. What are they going to do about that? I reached out to Jane Kirtley. She's a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. She's joined us many times, and she joins us again. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Pretty good. That's my send-up of this. What jumps out at you first and foremost?
You know, I always have such a mixed reaction to things like this, because it seems to me that the Googles, the YouTubes, the Facebooks of the world are not responsive to us, to ordinary people, to their primary users. I mean, they see us as cash cows, and that's what they're going to use us for. They are, however, I think, responsive to the advertisers who give them money. And therefore, I think if there's really going to be any serious change here, it probably is going to be driven by advertisers. And as you said, Unilever is a huge, huge conglomerate, buys billions of dollars of advertising. And I think this is something that the various social media companies are going to have to pay attention to. Having said that, while I certainly deplore the fake news, the distorted news, the stuff that's put online by people that aren't who they say they be and are supposed to be and all that, I do worry a little bit. You know, it's fine until the day that the many enterprises owned by the Koch brothers come in and say, well, we don't think you're publishing enough conservative news, so we're going to pull our ads. I mean, where does it stop? In a way, of course, this is not a new issue. Advertisers have always been able to try to throw their weight around when a media company is publishing things they don't like or not publishing things they do want to have published. I just am concerned that outfits like the Googles and Facebooks of the world aren't going to react to this the way a news organization would, because this isn't really about defending material that ought to be there. It's about their laxness in policing the stuff that, in my opinion, really shouldn't be there.
And there's a lot of things that they're, you know, sort of roasting here. I mean, ad placement is one thing. Adjacency to ugly articles is another thing. They seem to just be frustrated with the whole damn bunch of them, you know?
And it's nice for them, I mean, from their perspective, to cloak this in the guise of, oh, this is all about getting real news out there and eliminating fake news and getting rid of the things that are offensive and all that. But you're absolutely right. Don't kid yourself. Unilever has a bottom line here. They think they're being harmed by the juxtaposition of their ads with certain kinds of content. They don't want that to continue, and so they're threatening these companies so that hopefully it won't continue.
Well, I don't mind if though the response from Facebook and Google and YouTube were to, I don't know, somehow make Unilever happier. I presume that would make my experience on the internet a little better. I mean, I don't mind it going down that road, Jane.
Well, I don't mind it going down that road, and certainly market forces. We live in a capitalistic economy. That's how these things are going to play. But I guess what makes me sorry when I read these things is that it comes back to sort of the cliche that media companies, however you define them, are ultimately, they make their choices based on what their advertisers want, not what their customers want, not what the consumers of news and information want. It's just troubling to me to think that we're just, a little cog in their world and not really that important until it starts hitting their bottom line. At least that's the way it appears to me.
Well, there are times when I'm on sites that are ugly sites, or there's articles that I feel are terrible, either not truthful or just mean-spirited, not funny, et cetera. And I'll see an ad next to that. And I think, does that company know that they're going to be next to this thing or on this page? And I expect the answer is no.
I'm sure it is. I'm pretty sure it is no. And I think we've all seen the juxtapositions of, things that are completely inappropriate, not because the content in and of itself is bad, but, it's an article about a suicide and you suddenly get an ad about something that is very frivolous or something like that. So, I doubt that it would not be possible for these companies to be able to handle this better? I think they probably could, but, they love their algorithms and they're just going to let those carry the day until somebody complains enough that they're going to change it.
There's an ad that pops up all of the time. I want to tell you about it after a quick break. But I also want you to call 312-981-7200, or you can text to that number as well. If there's something along these lines that bugs you, something that happens habitually or continually, and you see it when you go online, what is that? Is it an ad? Is it something else? I'm not exactly sure. But this is a chance for you just to kind of sound off. We'll get Jane's informed opinion about it, too. Jane Kirtley's on the phone, professor of media ethics. We talk to her when things come up that have to do a lot with social platforms, Facebook. Now, here's Unilever, this big, giant company that makes all kinds of products that we use every day. They're like a Procter & Gamble. They're the folks behind Dove soap and Axe products, etc. And they issued a statement this week just saying how utterly frustrated they are with the way the internet handles their ads. They don't like the placement it gets. They don't like the fake news that's out there. And when you're reading something that you don't like or don't believe or, in fact, just isn't true, their ad is sitting right next to it. They hate the juxtaposition. It's funny because, Jane, as I recall now, your attitude is, sure, but, you're sort of looking askance at their position on this a little bit. Just refresh.
Well, they have every right to have their position. As I said, I think advertisers have always wanted to try to control the way the media companies that they advertise in play their ads and so forth. There's nothing new in that. And I'm in favor of anything that would encourage these social media platforms to do a better job of policing genuine fake news. The problem is that it's easy to have sort of a viewpoint drift in this, where it doesn't become just a question of this is a fake, totally fabricated story, get it off, to, well, this is a story I just don't really like, so I'd like it to go away. We're not talking about the government here. The companies both have all the rights in the world to make these decisions. I just raise the question of whether this is the best way to do this. That's really all I'm trying to say.
But better the free market do it than the government decide. I mean, one person's fake news may be the other person's propaganda, their influence, their advertising, right?
And that's certainly true, and that's why it's so difficult to square this circle and try to decide what's good, what's valuable, what's true. And in the past, we relied on the news media to make those decisions and went to those sites we thought were credible. The weird thing about the YouTubes, the Googles, and the Facebooks of the world is they don't quite know what they are. They don't really know if their news delivery systems, even they use words like news feeds. I don't think they act in an appropriate editorial functional kind of way, so I don't consider them journalism. They're
sources
of information.
I agree.
They're sources of information, but they're not journalists, in my view, at least not now. They could be, perhaps, if they'd invest in the personnel to do it, but relying upon algorithms is not the way to make that happen.
Well, they're conduits. I mean, Facebook does not have a news team. YouTube does not have a news team. Google does not have a news team, really. I mean, you'll get information from them.
And you know, they do have had, they have had people along the way that have done things to, like, to look for pornography and things like that, or to censor stuff that is illegal content in other countries, even though it's legal here. But that's, again, that's not journalism. That's a censorship team.
This texter says, John, if social media promises that you'll reach so many people by advertising on their site, but half or more of the accounts are bots, they're not getting their money's worth. That's a problem that we've been following here, the problem of bots, fake accounts, fake Twitter accounts, things like that.
Well, I worry about bots and fake accounts a lot more in the area of disinformation than I do for the poor advertisers, who I think can take care of themselves. They have enough clout to do that. But I do think there's no question that the proliferation of fake news and various kinds of propaganda through bots is a huge issue.
Release the memo was a hashtag that was huge when the question was, should the president and that congressional committee release the Nunes memo? And I forget what it was, but the number I saw was astounding. How many of the release the memo hashtags were from accounts that were fake, were robots, were not real?
Exactly. And I don't think we've even begun to get a real handle on this. I mean, the hearings they've been having in Washington the last couple of days just keep showing how we're way behind the game on this. The people that started doing this and are behind this are experts. And we've been very naive, I think, in terms of this disinformation campaign.
This texter says, John, I occasionally click on the ads just to generate income for the internet company. what a nice thing.
Bless your heart.
but that works that way, right? I mean, that's really what you're paying for, is click-throughs, regardless of the intent of the clicker.
Well, absolutely true. And, you know, I think that the other side of this, and it's something that I think we need to keep in mind, is that, you know, things that are free on the internet really aren't free. Somehow you're paying for it, whether you're clicking through the ads or whether whoever is hosting the site is collecting your data and selling it. You know, nothing is free. There is no free lunch, and there's no free lunch on the internet.
There's a guy here in Chicago named J.B. Pritzker. He's running for president. Every time I click on a YouTube video to watch something else, and I do that a lot, sometimes it's even in front of, I think, CNN or other videos, it seems like every time I sit in this little studio I work in here to watch videos, I see a J.B. Pritzker ad over and over and over again. I don't know that that's a fair complaint on my part, because he's got the money and I don't have to go on the internet. But I wonder if, in fact, that's working for or against him. I'm getting so beat up with it. And do I have any options there, or should I, Jane?
Ad blockers. I mean, you always have the option of loading an ad blocker onto your device. And again, it's a double-edged sword, because you are in that way undermining a revenue source for the site that you're going to. But, you know, if you don't care about that, or if it's just driving you crazy, that is always an option. They're not perfect, but they're easy to get from any number of app stores.
Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. It's nice to talk to you, Jane. We always appreciate your effort. Please join us again.
I will. It's always a pleasure for me, too.